I can call myself a market expert because I know what the prices are in a lot of different areas. So YouTube has been a way for me to share my market knowledge and then sprinkle in a little bit of my personal life and, you know, the quirkiness that comes with Laura Sinclair.
Welcome to the Northwest Real Estate Roundup, the podcast where real estate meets reality. I'm your host, Steve Tytler, coming to you with 4 decades of experience in the trenches of real estate and the mortgage business. Today, we're diving deep into the tools, tips, and trends that make the industry tick. Join us as we unpack the secrets to success in real estate, share expert advice, and spotlight the innovators who are shaping our industry. Let's get started. Welcome to the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. Today's guest is a very successful real estate agent, Laura Sinclair. And Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Great. And Laura, tell everyone, what is the geographic area that you cover in your real estate business?
I would say primarily on the east side. I've done quite a bit of business in Seattle, but where the client goes, I go. So Tacoma all the way up to Marysville.
Okay. Now we're recording this in mid to late April. How do you see the housing market right now in your area?
Well, if you were someone in my brokerage, they would say it's popping off like 4th of July. It is competitive. I would say not nearly as competitive as it will be when the interest rates come down.
Well, interest rates have been going up, unfortunately. I'm in the mortgage business, and I know that. I watched that firsthand. It's disappointing because at the end of last year, a lot of us thought rates would be lower by this time, but instead, they've gone the opposite direction. So are you noticing an impact on your business because of that?
If I'm being completely honest, yes. Yeah, I did have a good year last year, but I would say that, yes, a good portion of my clients are waiting for the interest rates to, and I should restate, if and when the interest rates come down, that's what they're waiting for.
So what do you tell them? I mean, I'm sure they ask you, hey, Laura, when are rates going to come down? And what do you say?
Oh, I put it back on them and I say, when do you think the interest rates are going to come down? And
it's difficult. It's extremely difficult. I said, I'm in the mortgage business. I don't know. I was wrong. I thought they would be lower now. In fact, many, many years ago, I read a story where they did a study and they looked at a bunch of expert predictions on mortgage rates. And then they went and looked backwards to see what actually happened during that time. And in that study, they found the quote unquote experts were wrong 75% of the time. So they were worse than a coin flip. So even so-called experts do not know where mortgage rates are headed. And all we can do is deal with what we have to work with.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a good statement. And that's what I tell my clients is, you know, we don't know when they're going to come down. To your point with experts not potentially knowing, is to buy something now that they can't afford while the interest rates are where they are. And then if and when they do come down, they have the opportunity to refinance.
Yeah, that's the best strategy, I think, right now, because everyone is asking, is this a good time to buy a house? And how do you answer that question?
The million-dollar question. Well, I say, is it the right time for you? You know, it may not be the right time for my buyers. You know, the right time to buy is going to be for them where they're comfortable at with where their finances are. In terms of real estate, and I'm sure you see, but it has its ebb and flow. It goes up, you know, it goes up and down. But looking at our market last year, we're up 7.4% this year, considering that we're in a down market. So
that's correct. Yeah, that's a lot of people are surprised by that because I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of podcasts online for months and months and months saying big housing crash coming, home prices are going to drop 50%. And I've seen a lot of stuff out there like that for a long time now. Do any of your clients come to you and say, hey, I hear the housing market's going to crash?
Yeah. Well, I don't get that a lot, but I do get the question of, you know, when do you think it's going to come back down? And my answer to that is it's in our rearview mirror. It already was down and now we're continuing to go up. So again, going back to that financial question, and is it a right time for you to buy? Can you afford it?
Yeah, I agree with you. If you look at the stats in most areas, home prices bottomed around January 2023. Mm-hmm. They kind of drifted along and now we're heading back up again.
Yeah.
Well, so what advice do you have for home buyers in this kind of market right now? It is tough.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Again, it's just, it has to work in timing for my clients. I'm never pushy when it comes to buying a house. I'm not the one buying it. They are. They have to be the ones. They're the ones that are living there. They have to like it. So, you know, meeting them and then going out and showing them homes. And then I think the biggest thing I can suggest, or the best thing I can suggest, is for them to get pre-approved first. To know what their budget is, to have the buying power. That is huge. Actually just recorded a video about this, you know, five things to do before you buy a home, and getting pre-approved is a big one, because the last thing I want for my clients is to feel let down. We go look at this beautiful home. It's everything they want. And then they go the other route and they get financed later and they're let down. And, you know, then I don't feel like I did my, had a good service for them, because I didn't advise them to, you know, figure out and establish your budget first.
Well, that is the age old problem in this business, because we see that all the time. We talk to people and they say, oh, I'm looking, you're not going to buy anytime soon. And then they drag their feet, human nature being what it is, because nobody likes to fill out forms. And trust me, I can sympathize. I hate filling out forms as much as, and maybe more than most people. Nobody likes to do it, but it's something you have to get done, because sure enough, they'll call us Monday morning. Hey, I just found a house over the weekend. I need to make an offer. And we said, well, we tried to get you put out your application in 3 or 4 weeks ago. But so I know as an agent, you have to struggle with that, and people don't like to do it. But the more you can convince people to get pre-approved and eat their vegetables, so to speak, and get it over with, the better off you're going to be, right?
Right. Well, and it's a fire drill for everybody. It's not only a fire drill for me, but you obviously, you know, having a mortgage company, that you know that it's now they got to go through the application process, hurry up and do it. And then I'm writing an offer for them, something that they've never seen before. And they all want it done before 12 o'clock.
Right.
You know, and you know, just as well as I do, that things come up on the finances where it might seem like it's going to be totally black and white. And then you start digging in there and you need this and you need that. And it takes longer than it should. So.
Yeah. And I think a lot of buyers get mixed up between the terms of pre-qualification and pre-approval. Right. As you know, pre-qualification can be a simple 2-minute phone call where I ask, how much do you make? What's your credit? And that's about it. Whereas the pre-approval means you fill out the application, we get all the paperwork, we have an underwriter review and approve it. Huge, huge difference. So again, it's much better to know what you're going to deal with before you make that offer.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and listing agents won't review an offer if it's cash, proof of funds, or if they're getting financing, that they have a pre-approval and somebody they can follow up with to speak, you know, on their behalf, that their finances are in order. So yeah, right. Being prepared is huge.
Exactly. Now, Laura, I know you're a very successful agent. So what do you think it is about your mindset that makes you so successful in what is frankly a tough market for a lot of people right now?
That's another great question. I pride myself on communication. I think that the number one thing, and I know I joke about this with colleagues, but answering the phone is huge, and picking up the phone to call out to listing agents to get the information for them. I think that sets me apart. My dedication to clients, market knowledge, negotiation skills. I think that all is, for me, what I've pride myself on, and then taking ownership in a market that I am working in, and, you know, working with clients on their best behalf, not mine, and understanding their needs and wants.
So then what would you say is your specific real estate superpower or unique selling proposition that sets you apart from the other agents out there?
With all that said that I just said, in addition, transparency, being honest, real quick story. I had a client that got under contract and I knew her finances were tight. Seller didn't want to do nearly any, you know, nearly the amount of repairs that needed to be done. And I knew that she wasn't going to be able to afford it come after the fact, if anything else came up. So we talked about it and I suggested, hey, knowing your circumstance, my suggestion would be to let's back out of the contract. We'll find you something else that's going to be better for you. And she said, I think that's a great idea. Thanks so much. Within a day, we were under contract on another one. So for me, it's not just about the sale. My superpower is getting to know my clients. They're understanding their needs and wants. And again, making it about them. It's not about me. Real estate is awesome, but I love people and I love being able to help them. First-time homebuyers, that excitement that they get when they first, you know, move into the house and they're already planning where they're going to put all their furniture. Just, I think, again, the superpower, a personal touch and, you know, just wanting to make sure that they're going to be happy at the end of it.
Well, that's a common trait I find in very successful agents. They all seem to put the client's need first rather than concentrating on the commission. And I think that works great in any business, especially real estate.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The commissions are nice, of course. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't feel right taking something if I knew that I was forcing my client into something that they either A, forcing them into that in the first place, or B, into something that they couldn't afford, all because I want to get paid. I just don't think that's the right mindset.
Especially with first-time homebuyers, because they tend to be very excited, but yeah, very scared at the same time, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. So I've said I'm a therapist and a real estate agent and a motivator and an influencer.
Well, that's great. Now, I know you do a lot of video on YouTube, right? Tell us about that.
Well, I wanted to grow my social media presence and I wanted to share what's going on in the market. And for a lot of it, the first time homebuyers, that's my niche. I love helping. I love teaching. And I wanted to provide insights on the market and just get people more involved in what's happening in their local areas and to understand the trends. And it's been helpful for me too, because now, you know, I can call myself a market expert because I know what the prices are in a lot of different areas. So YouTube has been a way for me to share my market knowledge and then sprinkle in a little bit of my personal life and, you know, the quirkiness that comes with Laura Sinclair.
No, that's great. Now, since you are working as a buyer's agent, what do you think about the changes we've seen in the buyer's agency? Number one, state law changed beginning of this year. You now have to have a signed buyer's agency agreement. How has that affected your business?
I knew you were going to ask that. Well, it has. I have in resale, I have always had that buyer service agreement in place, but it was something that I did at the time of the offer. So now it's, you know, something that we're talking about up front. And my brokerage has done a really good job, Raintown Realty. Hey, they've done a really good job of doing role play classes. So we've been talking about this since last year. I want to say like August, September, like, hey, this is coming January. We need to be prepared for it. So just the conversation alone around it with clients has been easy, but it's then the next step of them like knowing, okay, I now have to sign an agreement with you and explaining the difference between the two, an exclusive or non-exclusive, and what that means for them. And the biggest question around it with clients is, oh, I'm going to have to pay your commission. Well, there are ways that we can structure the offer to, you know, to make sure that they don't. My first and foremost is to not have my clients pay for it. Because let's be honest, at the end of the day, of course, you're doing mortgages. We know that clients, first-time homebuyers especially, are scrounging up down payment and closing costs, let alone do they have the extra 2.5% to 3% to pay a buyer's agent. Not all the time. So I try to make them feel comfortable with the overall of what the whole agreement means, where we're going to be working together, et cetera. And then once we've talked about it, it's gotten a lot you know, it's smoother after that. But there's definitely been a lot of question around it and why they have to have it right now. And then the other side, I think it's been super helpful because just being blatantly honest, you find out real quick who is a serious buyer. Because if they want to start their journey with you and their real estate journey, they're going to sign that agreement with you and you start working together and it's awesome. The other ones that don't want to, I understand the hesitance, but let's talk about it. Like, figure out what your questions are. And if they're not ready to buy it, then great. I move on to somebody else that wants to work together.
Well, and the whole issue of who pays the buyer's agent is becoming a big deal right now. Another agent told me they're starting to see some listings in the MLS with zero buyer's agency. Have you run into that yet?
I have not, but I've run into it where it's less than what we've agreed to on my commission. And in that case, I will again structure it in the offer and ask the seller to pay the additional, you know, half a percentage or a full percentage.
Well, that's great. Now, good news is that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac just came out with a rule this week saying that when a seller pays the buyer's agent commission, that will not be considered a contribution that counts against mortgage closing costs. And that's a huge deal.
Yeah, I saw that. That's that. The question I have around that is that going to be looked at as they could so potentially add it to the purchase price? And it's not going to be something that would be like part of their debt to income?
Well, that's going to be the big issue in the mortgage industry is the limit on what percent a seller can contribute. Usually it's like 3% or something like that. And so if you had a 2.5% sales commission, that would wipe out most of the buyer's contributions, I mean, the seller's contributions to the buyer's closing costs. So it's complicated. And I still need to see how it's all going to shake out. But it's a step in the right direction for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to both say, we're not going to count this as part of that seller's contribution, which is typically limited to a certain percentage. So that's a big deal. Now, working out how it plays out in reality still remains to be seen, right?
Yeah. No, I think that is huge. I read that and I agree with you. It's a step in the right direction to at least have that acknowledged because there were a lot of questions around that at our brokerage on what is that going to look like? And for the fact that they're considering not having that be part of it is really big, especially for the buyers.
Well, I took a quick look to the MLS just the other day, just to see what kinds of buyer's agents commissions were being offered. And I saw that most of the listings were still showing like 2.5. I even saw one showing 3% for the buyer's agent. So most of them out there are still paying the buyer's agent. But as I mentioned, somebody mentioned they have seen some sellers offering 0% to the buyer's agent, which I think is going to be a strange situation.
Yeah. Well, and it will be interesting to see what happens in July. But with that buyer service agreement, the buyers have the option, if they see a house at a 0% commission, they have the option to not look at that house. And that's what's a big thing that changed with that agreement is us as agents, we have to show a client a house no matter what the commissions were. Now it's changed where it could be a shall or shall not show you a home based off what the commissions are. You know, I'm still going to show clients because if it's their dream home, I'm going to figure out a way to get the commissions covered. But that was a big thing. And that will be interesting because if it's not posted on there, you know, it's not advertised anymore. You know, now it's a conversation with the listing agent on what did you and your seller agree on when you put your listing agreement together and what will they pay? And probably will be, you know, a change to the service agreement, buyer service agreement that we already have, or they already amended in January. But I will be curious to see what that looks like for the buyer, if they can still do that and pass it. And if that happens, I see listings staying on the market a lot longer because they're not paying any commissions.
Well, that's
but everything is negotiable. It always has been.
That's right. And I did an interview with another agent when the NAR settlement first came out. She said the exact same thing. It's always been negotiable. Mm-hmm. And she believed that most sellers will pay what has become a more or less traditional buyer's commission if they want to get the best agents like Laura to show the house. I mean, you're going to want to, they're going to want agents like you showing their house. And I think we'll see, but I think most sellers will continue to offer the traditional buyer's agent commission. That's just my guess. What do you think?
I think so too. Yeah. And you know, here's the thing with real estate is there have been a lot of changes, but we've always figured it out. It's going to be a little bumpy in the beginning, adjusting to what it is, but we always figure it out. So I am not worried that that will change because I do see the value in what a buyer broker brings to the table and supporting their client and having their best interests in mind when they're putting the offers together. And, you know, buyers don't know what they don't know. So they need somebody to guide them through the process.
Well, I know successful agents like you will always succeed. And when I talk to agents like yourself who are very successful, most of them have kind of a daily or weekly system they follow to keep their business going. Do you have a specific system you follow?
I do. Yeah.
It's the tell us about it?
Yeah. So we, do you want me to like really dial it in for you? Like Monday through Friday?
Right. I mean, the audience for this podcast is primarily other real estate agents like yourself, and they would like to know as much as you are willing to share. So
let us know.
Oh,
that's awesome. Oh yeah, for sure. I love to help. And you know, I have other agents that I get ideas from too. So I think in this business, I think it's really key to share information and help others grow. So I am super organized. When I first got into real estate, my partner at the time that was training me, great that we worked similarly together. So, you know, I think it's important to like have folders and things set up. So for me, like Mondays, I go through my leads that I get. I do follow-ups on Tuesdays and Thursdays, generally between like 5 and 7, because that's when people are home. You can do it throughout the day too. It's a hit or a miss on whether you get them, but Mondays are also days that I will do my market updates. I will do my video content that I'm going to do for the week. And, you know, outside of showings, when I get requests for showings and clients that want to go out, and of course, some of that stuff gets thrown out of the whack or, you know, out of order because the showings have to come first. But, Wednesdays have tended to, well, Mondays also have a meeting. Thursdays have meetings as well. But I think the most important thing is just having a process and something that's going to guide you through your week. Like Mondays, I like to be proactive, so it sets my tone for the whole week. Wednesdays are generally like open days, so I'll do more video content on those days. And this is leaking some of my secrets here, but I have a marketing gal that will do my videos for me because let's be honest, they take a lot of time to edit and she is fabulous. Shout out to Jaira, but that's important to have somebody that's going to be doing the videos for you. Obviously we have the content and record it, but she goes in and she edits it. She knows what I like. And then we put that together and then put it out for the next week. So, Fridays, I have tried to take off. Those have been my days off for years. Super flexible though, because if showings come up, then I do that. But Saturdays are open for showings all day long. Buyer consults, when I meet somebody new, those can be sprinkled in throughout the week, depending on their availability. But for the most part, everything is pretty structured throughout the week to set myself up for success. Look, let's listen. Nobody wants to make the phone calls, right? But that's where you get, that's the old way of doing business. And I know maybe some people would disagree with me, but there's something to be said about getting on the phones and just calling people and just checking in with them to see, you know, where they're at with their buying process. You know, are they still interested or are they not? But for me, I think it's continuing to stay on those, you know, on track with what I do throughout the week and just staying organized. So keeping the systems in place.
Well, I agree with you about the phone. Virtually every successful person I know in real estate and the mortgage business for that matter, really pound the phone. I mean, they work that phone. A marketing guy I know calls it the 800-pound phone that people are afraid to pick up. But the people who are successful like you are not afraid to pick up that phone. and work it hard. Now, did I hear you say you make your prospecting calls in the evening between 5 and 7?
Yes. So I used to do them on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 12. And when I was doing that a few years ago, that was a lot of people were working from home. And I know a lot still are, but a lot have also gone into the office or they have meetings now. So the 5 to 7 in the evenings, yes, I've found to be a lot better with getting a hold of people because they're not at work, they're not in meetings, they're at home. They might be in the middle of dinner and tell you to call you back later or call them back later. And in that case, you schedule a follow-up call. So, yeah.
Now, what lead generation strategies do you use?
Well, Zillow, for one. Our brokerage has the Zillow leads and then also Ylopo. For me, I've been really focusing, in addition to that, focusing on social media and growing my online presence and YouTube. So a big part lately is marketing. I think that we're real estate agents, great agents, but it all starts with how you're able to market yourself. So that I'm still, you know, just being honest with is still getting up and going and growing the YouTube channel. So, and I do expect to see leads out of that, but those are the, those take time. I actually just started getting into a direct mailer. So doing some direct mail and again, a lot of this stuff is old school, but it has worked for some and not for others. But focusing on my local community and sending out postcards and, just letting them know that I'm the market expert in the area and that I'm here to, list their house. So.
Well, that's great. At this point, where would you say most of your leads are coming from?
Zillow.
Okay.
Yeah. And I should say word of mouth too. So I do get quite a bit of referrals too from past clients that I've worked with that are either ready to get an investment property, get their second property, or they're referring me out to family, friends, or coworkers.
Okay. Now in this market, what would you say are the most common mistakes you see sellers and buyers making? Start with sellers first.
Oh gosh. I would think and hope that sellers are doing their due diligence when it comes to listing their place. But what I've seen too sometimes is sellers are willing to do it for, let's say, just pay a listing agent less money than they would pay another agent. And I think a mistake there is you get what you pay for. So, there's been clients in the past that have reached back out and they're like, gosh, I wish we would have listed with you. Our host house has been on the market for X amount of days and we're not getting any traction. And so I think just really doing the due diligence and knowing who is listing your house and not just going with somebody that is telling you what you want to hear. Because yes, we want to agree with you and we'll list your house for what you think you should. But at the end of the day, this is our industry. This is our profession. And I think just taking the guidance from a real estate agent that knows what they're doing. And by doing that is to do their due diligence on who the agent is.
Okay. How about the buyer side? What kind of mistakes do you see people making? We talked about not getting pre-approved. Is there anything else you can think of that buyers are maybe not doing as well as they could?
Yeah, the pre-approval, I think, is one. And this is kind of supporting you, but I think a mistake is just going online and getting an online approval when it may not be a full approval and they use that and, aren't open to other recommendations. And then halfway through the contract, they find out that they actually haven't started financing or 5 days in, they're actually not approved. And now what do we do? Again, goes back to the expertise of the real estate agent. This is our profession. This is what we do. Trusting the buyer's agent that you're working with that hopefully has, again, your best interests at heart. But yeah, I think it really comes down to trust, trusting that us as an agent, me, myself, I'll speak for myself, that I am telling you these things to help you, not to hurt you. And again, biggest mistake with the is, I think, I don't even want to say it a mistake, but it's get the financing down, because it can only hurt them later on if they don't have all that in place first with a reputable lender as well.
Well, right. And I agree with that, of course. Now, is there anything you can think of that we have not discussed so far that you would like to bring up?
Yes. I know we touched on the interest rates, but I want to, you know, pose the question to buyers. What do you think is going to happen when the interest rates come down? You know, this is something that we talk about in our brokerage all the time, that if and when the interest rates come down, what do you think is going to happen? And if we're looking at, I just had a showing today that clients, I asked them, when did you buy? She said, oh, we bought a year ago. I said, do you know what happened during COVID? And she said, yes, we put in, you know, we're looking at multiple houses. I said, did you put in offers? She said, yeah. I said, how did that go? She goes, it was horrible, because we put in so many offers on so many homes, and we just stopped because we just were getting outbid, and we were paying, we didn't want to pay over. And so we just stopped. And so, you know, that's, I think the biggest thing is, if and when the interest rates do come down, I don't know if it's going to happen like COVID, but I do see it going similarly to where multiple buyers are going to enter into the market. What's going to happen at that point? Multiple offers, driving the price up, you're getting rid of all of your contingencies, and your buying power is out the door. And you know, if there's one thing I can suggest to people is, if you are interested in buying a house, buy a house or a condo or a townhome now. The famous saying, don't wait to buy real estate, buy real estate and wait, and get into something that you can afford, because I just see it being crazy again once the market comes, or once interest rates, if and when they do come down, I see it being a frenzy again. I mean, there's already offers now in areas that are going anywhere from, you know, 10,000 to desired areas, 200,000 over the list price. It's happening right now. So what's going to happen when the interest rates go down? It's going to be that much higher. So I'm very passionate about this part. That's why I continue to drive that part home. And I can't stress enough how important it is to, if you want to buy something, just do it.
Well, I agree with you 100%. Number one, I agree that when rates come down, I think they will come down eventually, you're going to see two things happen. Number one, all the sellers who are quote unquote locked into rates under 3%, if we get down and say the fives, for example, I think a lot of people go, okay, that's close enough. I'll sell. Because now I can buy another house. Nobody wants to sell a house where they have a 3% or 2.5% mortgage and buy a house with a 7 or 8% mortgage. But if they can sell their house and buy a house in the fives, okay, that's a whole different manner. So houses will come back on the market, which normally would increase inventory and slow the market down. But as you said, more buyers will come flooding in because now they can afford it. So I agree. It's going to be a combination of this driving the market up. When rates come down, which is kind of the opposite of what a lot of people are saying online. A lot of people are predicting a housing crash still.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a crystal ball, right? I wish, and I know a lot of people wish that too, but we have to advise our clients to do what works best for them. And nobody knows what's going to happen with the real estate. Like, to your point, even if you predict it to be X, it could be Y, and things can change. So, but if it's important for you to be a homeowner, then just buy. So.
Well, I love your line where you said, don't wait to buy real estate and wait, because a lot of people misunderstand. Real estate is really a long-term investment. You shouldn't buy it and expect to sell in 2 or 3 years at a profit, because that rarely happens except in super hot markets. Mm-hmm. I tell my clients, don't buy a house unless you plan to live it at least 7 to 10 years, because over the long haul, you're going to ride out any real estate cycle up and down. And so you don't have to time the market and buy at the bottom. You just buy and it will go up. Over 10 years from now, you can basically guarantee any house they buy today will be worth more money 10 years from now. It may go up and down in the meantime, but you know, so a long-term investment. So if you're going to be in the house long-term and it's a place to live, not a short-term investment, it's always a good time to buy, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And I think also to your point too, is to really going back to the buyer consult and understanding the needs and wants is how long do they plan on living there? Is this a short term? Because I want to, maybe I'm buying a condo now because it's what I can afford, and I buy a single family home later. Okay. Well, then if there's multiple offers on that house, I may not tell you to, you know, or advise you to, I guess, to change my words, you have to be careful in real estate, maybe suggest a higher price on it. Because if you only plan on living there for 2 years, you may not recoup that in 2 years. So again, just understanding what they want and being able to help them through that process, because real estate is, it's a waiting game.
Well, it certainly is. So I'm going to wrap up with one question for you. Okay. In your real estate career up to this point, is there one achievement or one moment that you are most proud of? What is the one thing you're most proud of that's happened to you or with you so far in your real estate career?
I mean, there's a lot, but I honestly, it would be last year, 2022, getting into 2023, making the choice to go out on my own. So I had worked new construction. I had worked with another company that was resale, but I was salaried, so I wasn't like fully on my own. It was the scariest but most rewarding decision that I could have made. And I wish I would have done it sooner, was to take a leap and not knowing what the next step, I mean, in a sense, not knowing what the next step's going to be, not knowing what the market's going to do, but believing in myself and my ability to work with people. And I honestly couldn't be happier.
Well, that's fantastic. So a lot of people out there, a lot of agents, a lot of buyers are going to want to work with Laura Sinclair. So Laura, tell us how they can get a hold of you.
So my phone number is 425-442-6265. Email laura@laurasinclairhomes.com. Those are the direct ways they can call, or they can text, they can email. And then I also have all my socials as well. So anywhere they can look at Laura Sinclair Homes, you can find it on Google, on YouTube. It's very easy. Laura Sinclair Homes.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm Steve Teitler. I'm the owner of Best Mortgage. If you have any friends, family, coworkers, or neighbors thinking about buying or selling, have them give us a call, because we'll give them honest advice you can trust. This has been the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. Tell your friends, tell other real estate agents, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on today's journey through the dynamic world of real estate and mortgages. I'm your host, Steve Teitler, and this has been the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. Don't forget to subscribe for more expert advice, tips, and stories that empower you as a real estate professional. If you have questions or topics you want covered, drop us a line at our website. Until we meet again, here's to your success.